Shalom, everybody. Good to see you all. Baruch haba. Parasha of this week is Ekev. Now, one thing I want to tell you with all my heart, that out of the five books of Moses, this book is the most romantic, lovingly, that you see more love in this book than any other books. This is heart-to-heart Moshe talking to every Jew. Moshe, with all its DNA, all its spiritual power, everything that he gained,
essence.
With all his essence, he wants to help us and do us good and show us the truth. Show us the truth. And there is a reason I say this. We had an introduction prior to starting the class, and I came to the point and asked the class a question: how many characters we got? How many characters each one has? Very simple. Easiest way, find out how much responsibility you got. How many responsibilities you got? Those are your characters, because for each responsibility, you build a character. You are a father, you will acquire a character of a father. You will learn eventually what kind of a character you want to have as a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a son, as a Jew, as a businessman, as a... Every profession you have becomes one of your characters. Now, we said last week that the whole purpose of this existence, quote unquote, and I call it only existence right now for a very good reason, is to establish good in all my characters. Not only in one character, not only in those characters that are easy for me to be good, just the opposite. To go to those characters that I cannot really let the good to be established. Which means, go and look what is difficult for you to learn. Go and look what is difficult for you to change. That is your tikkun. The most difficult thing is our tikkun. The things that I avoid to do. The things I don't want to deal with. Don't bother me with it. Like the one that is born as a Aquarius. I was given a big hospital to make his responsibility, humongous responsibility, and he really says, look, I want to make a hospital to save a nation. Big ideas. But once asked this guy, please, go visit one sick guy in one of the rooms of all this big hospital you created. Just go to one of the rooms, visit one. Oh, don't make me deal with those simple things. I built the whole hospitals. You want me to go and look into the affair of one sick person in one room in this big hospital that I created?
That's Aquarius.
That's a selfish Aquarius. That's not matured Aquarius. Let's go back. The purpose is to establish good in all our characters. Now, to establish good in all our characters is not such an easy job. Now, I want to be honest with you guys. And honestly, don't get angry with me. Let me finish. Let me go to the end of the story. Many people, especially those that they are interested in Kabbalah or mystics, they hear this world is illusion. It's the world of illusion. What do you mean? You want to tell me Torah is illusion? You want to tell me the truth of Torah is illusion? You want to tell me I'm illusion? I want to tell you yes. And now what do we mean by illusion? I simply tell you that God has given us 613 mitzvot to do. 365 mitzvah, remember, don't do. Just don't do. And 248, just do. 248 part I have in my body, and for each part of my body, he put one mitzvah. 365 days of the year, for each day, because of each day, I have one mitzvah, lo ma'aseh, don't do. Question. If I do the mitzvah, do I get sachar? Do I get paid for it? God, if I energy, put all my energy and keep the Shabbat, keep a house kadosh, keep kosher, study Torah every day 1 hour, make all the effort possible to establish good characters in my embodiment, do I get any sachar? Anything? None. Zero. Nothing of the mitzvot we do has any value. I promise you. Not at all.
So why do we call it mitzvah?
Because it is a mitzvah. Because God said so. By the way, this book, Torah, belongs to Shammayim. Moshe brought it down here. We have to understand that, and tonight we're going to learn this. Do not believe if you put tefillin, that tefillin is accepted for the following reason. The Torah specifically says, in the Aretz, Asher ani noten lach, that means Aretz, which Aretz? Eretz Israel? You think Eretz Israel is not in Galut? Is there Beit HaMikdash in Israel? No. Is there Eretz Israel belongs to Israel right now? No. Not really.
What do you mean?
It doesn't.
So who it belong to?
You tell me. I tell you, there were two families, they were fighting with each other for years and years and years, killing each other. They were originally two brothers. But then they, after years, they got separated and they start fighting on a piece of property. And after years and years and years, they decide, say, no more killing. Let's go ask the Aretz and say, Aretz, to whom do you belong? You know the history. So they both go to the Aretz and say, Aretz, to the ears of Aretz, it's a Tishmoun, listen here, we are asking you a question, please tell us to whom you belong. And the Aretz tells them, bring your ears closer, closer, closer. Put it down, I want you to hear it. So both of them, they put the ear down, and say the Aretz is laughing. He says, we ask you a serious question, you are laughing? He says, you fools, both of you belong to me. Both of you belong to me, I don't belong to nobody. That Aretz belongs to God. It doesn't belong to nobody. There was a long time ago in PBS between two person, two reporters, one Israeli and one Palestinian. And they were friends, they came from the same kfar. They studied the same Yerushalayim University. One started writing for Palestinian news magazine and one for Israeli. PBS brought them these two just to talk and they were friends. After end of discussion, you know what it was? Says, look, in the Torah is written that this land was given as a yerusha, as a legacy to Israel. It belongs to Israel. Here I have a book. Do you believe in Torah? He says, yeah. You know I believe in Torah. The Muslim said to the Jew, says, here it is, written that belongs to me. Do you dispute this? He says, absolutely not. But Chaim, are you a Jew? Do you keep Shabbat? Do you keep the rules of Torah? Are you that Jew that God promised to give the Aretz? Do you keep Shabbat? Ask them, right in front of everybody. He said, "You're right," shook hand, kissed him, and walked away. And don't forget that. It's very simple. It belongs to whom God promised. Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov didn't give it to Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. Said, "I'm going to give it to you, to your children." That means the father is going to do his best not to get anything out of it. Just to bring the children. That eventually they will find the zechut to go to Eretz Israel. To own Eretz Israel. Now, what is this life is all about? If the mezuzah, if the tefillin that I put, I'm not in Eretz. The tefillin is not accepted because the tefillin has to be done in Eretz. 99% of the mitzvot that got to be in Bet HaMikdash before the mitzvah is accepted can be done. So what am I doing? I'm baking challah, candles, all these mitzvot, 630 mitzvot you tell. Study Torah, Torah is a math. Nothing? He says, zero. There is seven mitzvot. One of the mitzvah is if somebody dead and they're going to bury him, if you go after this dead guy and you make sure that he's buried and you consolate the family and you do good, really I don't give you a sakhar, but I give you a little bit something so you can make a life out of it. I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to read it step by step what I'm telling you right now. So God, what is Olam Hazeh? What is this world? He says this world is an illusion. You know how they make a good pilot? Do you know how they build and teach the guy who takes the Apollo and goes to moon? There is a piece of equipment called simulation. But what is this simulation? You really go and sit down in a room. It's a virtual reality. It's not reality. It's a virtual reality. That means you go and sit down in a room, literally. Feels like an airplane, like a jet, fighter jet. Feels. It exactly looks like it. And you know what? As soon as I turn it, it turns exactly. If I make a mistake, boom, I'm dead. Everything. It feels like exactly the airplane. This is how you get trained. You know what is this world? The world of simulation. Why? He says, why God took the Jews 40 years to Midbar? Why? Very simple. You cannot do it until you don't prep yourself. Preparation. Without preparation, you will never make it good. Why? Because, as the Chabad says, as all the good Jews says, every day we say, bring the Mashiach, let's get it over with. Would you like the Mashiach right now? Yeah. You know, there was a good movie, you cannot handle the truth. That's why there is no Mashiach. You can't handle it. You got to get ready. You think this body of Tameh can handle that goodness of Ein Sof? I evaporate. I can't handle it. What did we read? Sabore, the Creator, wanted to lativ, to give good, to do good to His Creator. But here, that infinitum wants to come to this limited body? Is it possible, infinitum, to come into limitation? I can't handle it. So he had to do tzimtzum, tzimtzum, tzimtzum. That means constriction, constriction over himself infinite time. To the point that if I decide to lie, I will lie. As a matter of fact, to the point that allows his opposite energy to exist. Ra! To exist. Bad to exist. Because he's good. But he says, you know what? I don't want to put a chips in your brain so you will be a perfect brain and a perfect heart. I can't do it. But then there is a kesufa, that means bread of shame. You didn't earn it. You didn't feel it. So in order to feel it, I am going to take a puzzle and I'm going to make it mixed up, tohu vavohu, and I say, now put it together. By you putting it together, you will learn, simulate, how to drive. If tomorrow Hashem decides, here it is, day of Geulah. You know, guys, enough, I cannot wait for you. Why he can't say that? Because we are all educated people. We know anything has beginning, must have end. If there is Bereshit in the beginning, there is got to be the end. No. What's going to happen after the end? No time. No time. Finish. Now, if I am ready, what's going to happen? I can handle it. What if I am not ready? You think that's why the Torah says, Chamushim yatsu mimitzrayim? You think everybody got out of Egypt? Only one-fifth. After the Gog and Magog, what's going to happen? How many are going to survive? Me'atim. Only very few. Only very few. Now, there is a possibility that here I can't sit down. I'm giving you all the scenario. So look, every mitzvah that he tells me to do, he doesn't want to pay me. He doesn't want me to enjoy. As a matter of fact, he concealed the pleasure of a mitzvah. Concealed it. Why did you conceal the pleasure of a mitzvah? Why? Can somebody tell me why he concealed the pleasure of doing a mitzvah? Not that he doesn't give me the sachar, that means he doesn't pay me for the work. The pleasure of it he took away too. This is, all those words are important. For one main reason. If I enjoy to put the tefillin more than putting the tzitzit, what am I going to do every day? The tefillin, not the tzitzit, because this gives me more pleasure. So he said, you know what? I am going to take, literally going to take, the pleasure of a mitzvah. Because anyway, there is no sachar in it. I want you to exercise it. Every tefillin you put is not the same. Every candle of Shabbat you light, mothers, that they do it, they know that the same time, same bracha, same candle lighting is different every Shabbat. So when is perfect? Never. So you mean I cannot even become perfect? Never. So what am I doing? He says one thing. God wants to test you. What's going on in your heart? What's the feeling? And I'm going to read it for you, and then we're going to start the class. Then we understand what is this ekev. I have to prepare you. Remember, preparation of doing mitzvah is more important than doing the mitzvah. Because as soon as you start preparing, you already did the shamayim aspect, the thought aspect, the machshava aspect of the mitzvah. The most important aspect of the mitzvah you already did. By saying, I am going to do it. And in the middle, God forbid, something happens and you don't get to do it. Is Hashem is going to accept that you do it? You did it? The rule says yes. Now, there is two concepts in Judaism. That's only in Judaism, exclusive. So Jews have monopoly on this. And this concept is Olam Haba. Is the next word. We are not talking about if you kill yourself, you're going to get 70 beautiful virgins. Not that word. May I ask a question now that we are at the subject? Since we are in the room called the simulation room, which is an illusion really for us to exercise all the mitzvot, that when God decides Geula is time, it's now. Now, how can I exist? I have to know how to put tefillin. I have to know Torah. My body has to be kosher. Because the beginning of the whole existence was Tasuli Mishkan, make me a Mishkan, a embodiment, a bite, a house, Veshochanti Betocham. I want to reside in it. One by one. Each one has to make it. And it comes and says the following. That's the goal. Now, if I haven't made the Mishkan, and that infinitum of power and energy comes here and wants to enter into some embodiment that is not even ready. What do you think? God says, okay, I'm going to give you 50 more minutes, 20 more minutes, 20 more years till you make it? No, time is up, time is up. Have you gone to exams? When they give you 3 hours, 5 minutes, they call you in 5 more minutes. That means in 5 minutes, put the pencil down. So the time is going to finish. I got to be ready. So God gives me 6,000 years of preparation for 1,000 years of pleasure. So we see the prep is more important. The more you prep, if your thought comes to your head and you react, but the thought comes to your head and you chew it 32 different ways. How many teeth God gave you? 32. 32 is what? In Hebrew? Lamed bet, lev. So you got an idea? Take it to your head, heart. The same way that you chew the food in 32 ways in order to prep it so your stomach can take it, same way a thought. You gotta chew it 32 ways to get the chokhmah. That means what is good to out and the garbage out. Every thought has good and bad. Everything in this world has good and bad. The secret is to establish the good. So we understood what's the purpose of this simulator. And this world is nothing but a simulator. It's not real. When God says, Geula, time, I'm going to take you. We said in the Bereshit, God took Adam, veyanichihu, and put him down in Gan Eden. First, he wasn't in Gan Eden. We are not in Olam Haba yet. We are in Olam of Sheker, lie, illusion. It's not real. But he made it bloody real. He's a good magician. Look at that. I pinch you, you're going to feel pain. I can say one word and really get you heated up, angry. That's real? Is that real? Gotcha. He really, God says, gotcha. Now, relax. Because whatever you do is not for him. It's to get yourself ready. That's why he's not going to pay you. It's not for him. Doesn't need you and me a yoda. I am as worth of as much as I can improve. So what are you asking for? What do you want from me? Says the following. I'm going to read it from the Torah, but you are responsible to go reread it again and digest it, because you are not going to digest it. God, everything that wants to teach us, brings in the nature something for us to look at and learn. How do we call an animal kosher? One of the most important things that makes an animal kosher is that animal eats, goes very quietly, sits down, vomits the food, and chews the cud again. Whatever he took in, brings it out, chews it again, and eats it. And if he doesn't do this, he's not kosher. Why God did this? Well, very simple. Don't think that once you heard something, you learned it. Your learning becomes when you go for the review. And you go over it again. The first round, it's going to pass over you. You don't digest nothing of it practically. You only hear it. Only in reviewing, reconsidering, looking at different angles, then you increase your knowledge. Same goes for the Torah. So in the Parashat Ekev, chapter 8, first pasuk. Kol ha-mitzvah. Mitzvah is one mitzvah. Why he's saying singular? One mitzvah. But no, he puts a word behind it. Kol. What he wants to tell me, there is a totality of mitzvot, but each individual is as important as another one. They are all individuals, but they are kol. They are whole together. I cannot say this mitzvah is more important than this mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the tikkun is the most simplest mitzvah that you look at and says, I mean, come on, this is too ridiculous. That's your tikkun. That's the one you got to learn, and that's why the one that you got to do best. No, give me these big ones. I mean, the important ones. I want to study Kabbalah, big Kabbalah. I want to know the names. Give me the formulas. I want to control. No, calm down. He said, in this world, nobody controls nothing. You are, don't forget, you are in the simulator. You're not in control. You're just learning. And honestly, if I fool myself thinking, hey, you know what I can do? You know how big and important I can become? With that introduction, the Torah continues, says, Kol ha-mitzvah asher anochi metzavecha hayom. I am giving you keys today. Anochi metzavah. Anochi, who is Anochi? Anochi asher hotzati otcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the energy that I take you from your galut out. I am the one that you get yourself into trouble and you're going to call me to come and help you. I am that energy. I am the mother nature of you. I am the one that loves you as much as a mother loves you. I brought you. I am responsible for you. That's the Anochi. Tishmerun la'asot. Tishmerun. Don't forget. What is tishmor? Keep. Keep what? How can I keep? Only one way. To keep on remembering. Where do I learn this? The Torah goes into the Shemot, chapter 37, and tells us a story. What is this idea of keeping? That's so important that he says God put the Adam into Gan Eden for one thing, to lishmor, that means to keep, ve'la'asot, ve'la'avot. It's avodah, la'asot. He says Yosef one day has a dream. Yosef, son of Yaakov, goes to his father and says, Father, I saw this dream. Father looks at him. And the Torah says, Vetishmurun et adavar. Yaakov kept the davar. And there is a big secret in this. Number one, whenever we see a good dream, that dream will work for us forever if we remember the dream. If we forget the dream, it's gone. So what did Yaakov, even though the day was a day that he believed Joseph was dead, they brought his coat that he made him full of blood and said to Father Yehuda, said, Hakana, do you recognize whose clothes is this? And he believed that, he became so sad, so the Shekhinah left him. and he believed that the Yosef is dead. But yet, he did not forget the dream of Joseph. Listen to what Torah teaches us. The only thing that will take us to Geulah, to redemption, to Bilamavet Lenetzach, to come to a point that death will finish no more, is to remember. Is to remember. What to remember? What God has told me. Not to forget it. For as long as I remember, I do not lose the contact. You remember 3 weeks we studied how to establish contact. What is contact? And we studied after to make a contact, how can I communicate? That was last week. Now you make a communication if you remember. If you don't remember your wife's birthday, what's going to happen? Now, what do you think if you don't remember what God tells you, what God is going to feel? I'm glad your feelings are working. Very good. So here it comes and it says the following. Leman tichyun verabim. Oh God, are you giving me a profit? If I do all your mitzvah that Anochi is giving me, it's for me to do. Are you giving me life, tichyon v'rabim, to increase and multiply? Is this my sachar? Zohar HaKadosh says, chas v'chalila, no, this is not a sachar. He gives you an opportunity for you to continue to learn, to be alive, because the dead won't learn. So it gives you an opportunity to increase, to multiply, to learn, to bring this Kedusha, to bring to the result that the totality of mitzvot are done and the totality of work of a Jew is accomplished by a Jew. A non-Jew is not going to do it for me. Footnote. Everything that God does in this world does it for sake of a Jew. Don't forget. Anything happen in this world happens for sake of a Jew. Because the whole purpose, if Jew makes it, the Torah is going to make it. And if the Torah doesn't make it, the world is not going to make it. The whole existence and continuity of the world depends whether the Jew is going to make it or not. You don't believe me? Look at the world. Nobody's complaining about Israel, what he's doing. As a matter of fact, everybody's dilly-dallying right now. Until Israel has the time to finish it. At least to do something, because everybody wants these guys to go. But they didn't find anybody else have the guts enough to go in. And they don't have the guts to go in right now either. So they say, you know what, let the Israelis, they know what to do. Let them beat them up, get them tired, and then we go with glorious flags. And Baruch Hashem, out of the whole chokmah of the system, of the Creator, up till now, every prime minister and the minister of defense was a soldier or a general. First time in the history, the prime minister and the minister of defense, they were no soldiers. They don't even know how to be soldiers. Well, what they are? They have a lot of good politicians. And that's what we need right now. So God gives us what we need. Now, would you please, God, tell me, what do I need to deal with Hezbollah, Hamas? He says, you know what? We talked about it. The end of the program is one thing. That the Jew has to make a teshuvah, and that teshuvah should be, what is teshuvah? Establishing good in my characters. That means to find the flaws in my character, and the flaw is represented by a darkness. I want to bring light to that spot, which is goodness. So I want to establish good in the flaws that are in my character. That's the whole purpose. So God, I'm sorry that I'm jumping to explain, because I don't want to miss any of those points. So God comes here, he says, now, we did this job. The end of the work, my friend, is going to be done teshuvah by Mesirat Nefesh. Now, what is Mesirat Nefesh? We talked about it. For 3 weeks, we talked about it. Mesirat Nefesh is not anymore me. God told the whole Jews in the desert, right at the beginning, none of you going to go to Eretz Israel, all of you going to die. That's equivalent that all the work that you do in this world, you're not going to get, you're going to get zero profit out of it.
Here.
Nothing. So remember. So why the Jews didn't say, you know what, God, you're not going to let me to go Eretz Israel, no visa? Forget it, I'm going back to Egypt. Why didn't go back to Egypt? Because for sake of, he knew better. That if he goes to the Egypt, he's finished. But he has a chance to send his son to Eretz Israel and then make a Gilgul. And as well, through a Gilgul, come to Eretz Israel. Now he didn't make it. But he can make it because he sent an extension. He can use the extension and get where he couldn't do it himself. Okay, now it became better. So, why did you put this Hezbollah in front of me to deal with? He says, you Jew, you know what? Everywhere I send you from Spain, I send you to the rest of the Europe. You were in Galut for 3,000 years. And you know what? Within 10 years, you live like a king in the Galut. You have such a desire to receive. Wherever I send you, you become rich. You become comfortable. You choose comfortable zone. Ask a Jew, would you please sacrifice yourself for sake of Hashem? So what are you talking about? You know, sacrifice yourself. Accept the yoke of kingdom of Hashem. What are you talking about? Should I put my neck for him to walk on? No, to accept his oil of Malchut. That means, you remember what last week we said? All of us have our own small world. Do you know your world? There's policemen you have a whole government, democratic, liberal, whatever, and you have your government, and you have your world. Now, would you please tell me who's the God of your world? You. You are the God. Whatever you say, that's how it goes. Right? Are you ready to make, instead of you be the God, make the God of Torah to be the God of your world? That's sacrifice. That's Mesirat Nefesh. You become nothing. Nothing. Ready to take it? Are you ready to exchange? You give up. You become the slave. And he will run your world. He'll tell you when to sleep, when to wake up, how to wake up, how to eat, how to get up off the table, how to put your shoes, what to wear, what not to wear, what to look, what not to look, what hear and what not to hear, and what to sneak up your nose and what not to sneak up your nose. How do you like that? Would you like it? Because if you accept it, you have done Mesirat Nefesh. So the Jew says, well, I cannot do it. He says, you can? Look at Hezbollah. I don't say his work is good. I don't say his action is good. I don't give him credit for that. But look at the belief. Look at the faith. Look at the power. Look at the energy. One Jew went into a village, one Jew, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, one Jew, with the kippah, all the Arabim, immediately, scare, fear. I saw this with, I'm a boy from Katamon. It was close to the Kfar of Arabim. You would come a mountain, you go to the village of Arabs. As a boy, I knew this. A Jew would come, respect him, give him food, play with him, everything was good. They saw a Jew, they respected him. Because they thought that this Jew is really the Jew of Torah, he came really to take his. After 20 years, they looked at it, this Jew is not this Jew. That's why they throw you the book. They throw at you today the book. He says, you are not this Jew. Are you?
Jew is a Jew.
What the Torah says is
Jew is a Jew.
Huh?
You said that. Jew is a Jew. Even a Rasha, a Jew is a Jew.
Absolutely, potentially. What's your choice? Mesirat Nefesh will make you the Jew of the Torah. That means you say what?
But still, Jew is a Jew.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know where.
But I have a killer of a Jew too, and I have a thief of a Jew too.
Jew is a Jew.
I call it a thief Jew. That's no problem. You go to prison, you will see a lot of Jews. Yes, I respect him as a Jew, but then I will cry for him and I pray for him because he took something good.
Amen.
And he dumped it into the pots. No problem. Who made the choice? Who made the choice? And he is going to come and explain. Whatever seed you put in the ground, that's what you're going to eat. And don't blame God for it. You put apple, you're going to get apple. You put good, you're going to get good.
Yes.
You put bad, you're not going to get good.
The only thing I'm saying is when someone will come and ask you about, you know, the right that you have about this country or this land, you have the right as a Jew. You don't have the right as a religious or religion Jew. You have the right as a Jew.
Agree. And what makes a Jew, Jew?
Now he's going to pay for what he's doing. He's going to fight. He's going to suffer. I accept that.
Uh-huh.
But you have the right. So the same journalist that said that, I don't get that.
May I ask you a fair question? And it's a very touchy question. I'm not talking now for past 3 weeks. And by the way, I am as good as it has come to have feeling toward Israel. I grew up. My start is in Israel. I'm not discussing this. But do you think the soldiers of today are the soldiers of 30 years ago?
No.
Thank you. Question number two. Do you think the fruit that you eat today, a banana, an orange, is the same taste and same smell of 30 years ago? No. Both have a reason. I tell you, and we're going, this is really the subject of today. Lack of bracha, that you call religiosity, I don't care what name you call it, but lack of bracha, not saying a bracha, we're going to read it today. And if it, I have to take you guys half an hour, forgive me, let me take you half an hour. Because it's important to understand that why, where did I lose the taste of a good food of Israel? One orange could have made you drunk. One banana, taste of one banana, out of this world. Come on. And right now we lost the taste. What happened? Who took it away? Is the fault of the earth? Someone else I found to blame? Is God's fault? Or is my fault?
Can I say something? I'm sorry.
Yes.
You know, a couple of things. I think the Jews have suffered so much for 2,000 years. By now, we deserve. And secondly, Mr. Ahmed, it sounds like being a Muslim. You have to kind of like submit yourself, and that's not a Jewish idea.
Oh no, no, I didn't explain. You are taking my word. And you're making something else out of it. He puts that scenario and tatron in front of you for you to witness and learn from it. What a Jew, Mesirat Nefesh for Jew is, I said, I have a Olam Katan, I have a God in there, and the God is Mio, it's I, me and myself. I am the God in my Olam, and here it is. Am I ready to forfeit my powers as God of my Olam? My own Olam Katan. And replace it with the God of Torah. Simple.
Okay.
I didn't say don't kill yourself. As a matter of fact.
Absolutely, there's room for improvement.
Baruch Hashem.
But we need to encourage the Jews at this point and not punish them.
What do you think I'm doing right now to you?
I don't think you
are. Very simple. First of all, you are in the world of Sakhar, reward and punishment. What that means. Not that God wants to punish you. Nothing got to do with it. What you put, whatever you put in the ground, that's what you get. Who brought Hezbollah? Who brought Hamas? Come on.
I do understand that.
Thank you. Be honest.
I understand Sinai Israel, who caused it. I'm aware
of it. Now, here it is. I am going to go. He says, God, you know what? You don't give me a chance. You made me the only one. And you made the whole world to hate me. Is God made you again? God went to Adam and said, look, I told you not to eat from this tree. Did you eat from the tree? He said, what are you talking about? This woman you gave me. I went to the woman. What the woman said? He says, God, what is this? Why did you put this nachash in this Gan Eden? Didn't you know I'm going to fall for it? This heat between two Jews, Baruch Hashem, will never end. That's what makes us strong. Because we question.
And we rise with God. We don't submit, we rise. To be God's partner.
Here. Now, what is this hot business? Submission. Do you think it's going to give you the submission self-confidence or going to take your confidence away? And I want you to think about it. If you honestly submit, that's hod. Exactly like Aaron. Submit. Exactly like Isaac. Total submission. Exactly like Abraham. He says, Lech Lecha. Okay, Lech Lecha. Where? I'm going to show you. For what? Never mind. Stop moving. Submit. Are you going to lose confidence? Or are you going to become stronger? You're going to have more confidence. But the point is that, and I want to bring a similarity. The Torah says that the Jews ate man for 40 years. They ate man. What was this man business? The man is a spiritual bread. It's called Lechem Min HaShamayim. Bread of heaven. And what was this characteristic of this bread of heaven? Very simple. We have a bread of heaven and man-made bread. What's the difference between those two bread? Both of them are bread. One has west, and the other one doesn't have west. Man didn't have no west. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you didn't have to do anything. And everything you had was osher. Good. Now what else this man did? How many desires are in the world? Infinite. How many desires can you create? Combination. One likes the food with a little bit more salt and a little bit more pepper and less this and less that. Look how many combinations you can make only out of a fish. Many, many ways, right? Many tastes, different tastes. Everybody has a desire for his taste. This man was able to satisfy every taste. What was wrong with this man? Nothing. The only thing that the guy would sit down and says, you know, I want today filet mignon, medium rare, and I want it, that my salt, and this one, and I want it taste like this, and I want it taste fantastic. Best chef. God, can you make it? No problem. Here is the man. And he puts the man, puts it in his mouth. Oh, très bien. What a smell. What a taste. What was the problem? Why did you go to God and say, God, I don't want this man. Give me some meat. What was the problem of a Jew? He says, look, 90% of the pleasure is looking at the steak. I eat a steak, but what do I look at? Man. It's not a steak. Now do you believe that we are in the world of illusion? Guys, taste the best steak. He knows it is the best of steaks. But because he doesn't see it, he doesn't believe it. He doesn't like it. He complains. Yes?
If you're submitting because like you feel you can't have any other way, is that the same thing? I mean, like you feel like you have no other choice almost because...
Don't push the button save. Hold on. We're going to answer this question. Let me read a little bit more of this Torah. The Torah comes here and says, Leman tichyun v'rabin. So therefore you will be, can exist and continue, and multiply. The bottom, and therefore you come through this derech. It's a derech. It's not something that, 1, 2, 3, today I made a teshuvah, I put a kippah, I put the tzitzit, I keep the Shabbat, I'm kosher. Now, God, did I make it? No. It says the whole derech you gotta go. It says, what is all this derech? 40 years you gotta prepare. So he says, Leman tichyun rabim ubatem vayarashtem et haaretz. And then you can come as a Yerusha, and then you can come and get what I promised to Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. Those are your models. And when you reach this destination, then I am going to give you this, what I promised to them. Asher nishbati Adonai la'avotechem. Uzacharta et kol ha'derech. Remember, keep on remembering. Don't forget the dream. Don't forget the dream. Keep on remembering. Zacharta et kol ha'derech. Asher olecha Adonai Elohecha. That God is going to take you through this derech. He says, okay, what is this derech? What is this route that you are going to take me, God? Tell me, I want to know. He says, no problem, I'm going to tell you. He says, ze 40 shana b'midbar. It is exactly equivalent that 40 shana that they were in the midbar. They had Anenei Kavod, they had the water, they had the Moshe, they had the Ohel Moed, they had Aharon, they had everything. However, did they have to fight? Yes, one day Amalek comes, one day Moavi comes, one day Ammoni comes. They did not have a day of comfort. So, 40 shana of get out of your comfort zone. Don't find a comfort place. Day and night we borrow, we work like a dog. Like a dog. Worse than a dog. In order to become comfortable. But when I'm comfortable, I'm already so sick that I have to, in comfort, to become sick and go to see Dr. Chas v'Shalom. What's going to do me? So he says, okay, that's the problem. Ze 40 shana b'midbar le'eman anotecha. Now what is anotecha? He says, in this road that I'm taking you, I'm going to oppress you. Is everybody clear on this word oppression? What is oppressing you? I'm going to oppress you. I'm going to bring you to the moment that your knees is going to give up and you're going to go down on your knees. Your back is going to break. You're going to feel the pain. And I'm going to do it. Leman lenasotecha. It's to test you. For what? Ladat et asher belipcha. So you find out at that moment what do you feel in your heart? Are you going to turn around to God and says, God, you're not fair? Are you cutting me a bad cake? I kept your Shabbat. I kept kosher. Every Shabbat I went to Beit Knesset. Every time they brought the Torah, I kissed them. And this is what you do to me? There is a story in Gemara, in Zohar. They came, they took Rabbi Akiva, the Roman. And they wanted him to confess. He didn't want to confess. Confess what? Say that the Torah is not a myth and God is a lie. He says, no, no deal. So, okay, bring a comb, steel comb, that's what he says. And they start peeling his skin off while he was alive. Worse than this? This is the worst that can. Rabbi Akiva, as per Torah, as per Zohar, could use one name, and destroy them. Literally burn them. He could. And the student comes to him. He says, Rav, what's the matter? Use the name. Look what they do to you. You with so much Torah, Rabbi Akiva has to die like this. He says, look, call the other people. Take this Nachash. This student is a Nachash. Take him away. I waited all my life, Rabbi Akiva said, that to comes to a moment to do Mesirat Nefesh and not to do Chilul Hashem. So at that moment, he says, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Feeling pain? But those are gedulim. This is not our business. God is not going to give us those tests. So he said, but he's going to give us tests. He's going to give us as much abatiach to carry as I can handle. And you know what abatiach is? Watermelon. Gives you as much as we can handle. But it's going to test us. That's the Torah. And then he says, and by the way, I'm saying this not to discourage you. I'm going to push it even a little bit harder. With this permission, the following. Lenasod ladat et asher bilibcha, that you will find out in your heart how much truth emet it is. How much you're sincere. How much you're honest. How much? Because whatever you do, look at this. I point a finger like this to everybody. Your problem. One finger to you, but I forget three fingers to myself, and on top of here, I blame God for it too. I am one that doesn't want to take responsibility. Start taking responsibility. So he says, after that, HaTishmor mitzvot imlo. I want to see in your heart, after all these problems, are you going to keep the mitzvot or you're not going to keep the mitzvot? Are you going to go out of this room? You say, you know what, the Yetzer Hara, and next week I'm going to read you the what are the argument of Yetzer Hara to the body. How the Yetzer Hara is going to really make you not to learn Torah and not to do mitzvot. You think you are running your world. My friend, you gave the government to your Yetzer Hara. He is running the show, and you think you are doing the best. Intellectually, how much really our mind and intellect has a capable of understanding? All the philosophies in the world that was written by man is, do you agree, is limited? Yes? Anything limited lacks. What is unlimited? The wisdom of Hashem. Any other philosophy I take, I'm taking a limited philosophy. Oh, the Persians take the Molana, the famous poetry of Molana, that they find God in the poetry. Some other Jews, they go to Buddha or Krishna and they dance themselves to really boom, 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 till they become crazy. Is that philosophy is going to make it for a Jew? No, because it's a limited philosophy. But the Torah is not a philosophy. It's the key to reach and become binded with your God. No other philosophy will take you that derech. And he says, I'm going to take you to this derech, oppress you. And by the way, Pasuk Gimel, continuation, V'ya'anecha v'yer'ibecha. That means to make you ra'ev, to make you hungry. I'm going to oppress you and make you on top of it hungry. Really hungry. And when you are really hungry, and do you know what I'm going to feed you? I'm going to feed you man. What do you mean you're going to feed me man? I'm not going to feed you something that you can absolutely be satisfied. I'm going to give you a man that is not going to make you 100% satisfied, because you are not going to see what it is you are eating. You are eating it because I am giving it to you. Sometimes we feel that Chas v'Shalom, God is a dictator. Those who are father and mother and those that who are not, I pray to this Torah that we study to be bekarov, good fathers and good mothers, plenty light in their life. Because then you will recognize that as much as you love your children, sometimes you have to teach them the hard way. You got to do it. They got to understand that life is up and down. And you have to make them strong. If you provide them and give them everything they want, by no means they are not going to make it. They have to go through the hardship and recognize the value of life. If they get it for free, they don't appreciate it. Easy comes, easy goes. So here, Rebbe is going to teach us a good lesson to this section. And let me finish and I then continue with Rebbe. ואכלך את המן, and he's going to give you the man to eat, אשר לא ידעת, ולא ידעו אבותיך. Not your fathers, and not yourself, you will never knew the value of man. Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov didn't know what man is. But you are getting to know what this man is. Because what it is, there is a difference between this bread that comes from Shamayim, that doesn't have no waste, and the bread that you make. And he continues, Leman hodiecha, in order to inform you, to bring you to an understanding, to bring you to the consciousness, to bring you to hasaga, to recognition of what? Ki lo al halechem levado yichia adam. I don't think that with your power you become rich, you become powerful, you become knowledgeable, whatever you become, is because of the power of what you earned and what you did. Ki al kol motze pi Adonai yichia adam. If it comes out of the mouth of God that you be alive, you will be alive. Otherwise, no, you will not be alive. Now, books were written for these three sentences. Books. Hours of discussion. I want to understand simple, bottom line. What Hashem you're telling us. I'm going to read you on this. Ki lo al halechem levado yichia adam from Ari HaKadosh. Straight from three sentences from him. Though has tremendous depths in this understanding. But explains it in a very simple form. He says, Pi. Pirush. Kehayot haneshama, because our neshama, our real vessel, the vessel which is haneshama shenatata bi tahorai, the actual vessel of me that can and capable get to close and bind with the light of Hashem, who lo al yadei ma'achal, is not because of what a person necessarily eats. Ki al kol motze pi Adonai yichia adam. You know an apple? It gives me energy and gives me pleasure, two things. This energy that is in this apple belongs to who? And the pleasure that is in this apple belongs to who? Rabbi Azulai, in a book called Chesed L'Avraham, says everything exists in the world belongs to Hashem. Both its being and the pleasure that is in it. Every pleasure that is in anything in life is the spark of holiness. As soon as you eat this spark of holiness, you feel pleasure. Because it is a spark of holiness. question is, who's you're eating? A man claims, I worked hard, I made money, I went and bought the apple, so apple belongs to me. Yes, that's a correct statement, but missing. You only bought, so you have no opportunity of making choice. Either you want to eat it as a bread that has waste, or you want to eat something that gives you continuity. That's your choice. You bought that right of making choice for the following. Because you want to get the energy of it, first you have to say bracha. Because the reshut of enjoying the energy, taking the energy, the reshut, the permission, is in hand of God because it belongs to God. You only bought the right to exercise your free will. You worked hard only to buy the right. Now, first you say a bracha in order to take the reshut to what? To use the energy. Now there is a pleasure in what you are eating. What you do for the pleasure? Brachat mazon, bravo. That means you ate, return. Did you eat for what? Only for yourself? Do you acknowledge that you got pleasure? Achalta? Osavata? Now we're going to learn a very important difference between the two. Lechem, that means bread of heaven and bread of earth. Analogy. Analogy. The Torah continues here. And says the following. Eretz asher lo bemaskanot tuchal balechem. Listen, when you submit and you put the Torah and the mitzvot in charge of your olam, and you accept the oil of Malchut of Shamayim, that means you accept the Torah to be the ruler and the foundation of your living. And it's not for purpose of you becoming perfect. It's not for purpose of you doing the mitzvah in order to get sachar or benefit. It's only for one purpose, to learn how to do it and how to establish good in yourself. So when there is a geula, you can literally handle the light of Hashem. That's the purpose. The moment that you do this, I am going to take you to the Aretz that you don't eat like a poor people. You don't need to go to Zevel. You don't need to go to the garbage and out of the garbage get the food and look for a good piece of food to eat. But out of garbage, you're going to eat with pleasure. Tuchal ba lechem. Lo techaser kol ba. There won't be anything missing in it. The man was, what is was missing in it? It was a pleasure of eating, but I couldn't see it. So he says, there is not going to be anything missing. Eretz asher avnei habarzel. ומהרריה תחות תחצות נחושת ואוכלת וסבעת וברכת את אדוני אלוהיך על הארץ הטובה אשר נותן לך. There is a Aretz Tov. I am going to take you to the place that is totally Tov. But אכלת, you ate. סבעת, did you become satiated? Do you know it's a blessing to be satiated? Yes or no? Imagine if you were hungry all the time. I know some of us really, we love eating. But there is a point that you say, okay, enough. There is an end to it. Here exam comes. He says, achalta. He says, achalta means, did you get permission to eat? To get the energy? Because why do you eat? Why really you eat? What's the difference me eating and a sadirit? I eat because there is a fun and pleasure in it. What the sadiq eats it for? Only for one reason. To survive. Not for pleasure. To survive. But we all the time look for what? Which restaurant to go next? I mean, how many ways they can make steaks? I mean, how many foods can we eat and there is all pleasure and not to repeat? How many times you can have sushis? How many times you can have steaks? There is going to be an end to it. So why do you eat? If you look to eat to give pleasure to your body, you are in the wrong alley. He says, okay, you want to enjoy it too? He says, yes. Achalta, savata, that means you are satiated. Na barachta. I give aliyah to what you ate. Because that pleasure that you got in your body, that pleasure that you got into your body, it's really one of my sparks. Rise it. Give a rise to it. You know how I created the world? By saying. You're sitting on a table. If you sit down on a table and say jokes, gross things, it's not Pi Adonai. It's not the word of Torah. It's not the word of Hashem. But if you sit down on the Shulchan, how do we write Shulchan? Shin, Lamed, Chet, Nun Sofi, right? Is it the same letter Lenachash? Same letters. So when you are sitting on the Shulchan, you have a choice to give it to Satan or give a rise to it. It's your choice. Because Shulchan is your Mizbeach. Shulchan is your sacrifice. You enjoyed it. You ate it. And now we know a big secret. Why when I go to read Torah, first I say Beracha and I say, then I read. But here there are only two Berachot. All the rest of the Berachot the Chachamim gave us, there are two Berachot that is in Torah. One is Beracha Mazon. That means after I achalta v'salata, I ate and satiated, then I say bracha, and one bracha for Torah. But the bracha of Torah I say first, but bracha of achalta v'salata I say at the end. Why? Very simple. Because what is in my mind? As soon as I read, I enjoy it. But in eating aspect, I have to become satiated. Now, is there end to study Torah? Never, there is no end. So that's why you say the bracha right at the beginning. And there is no bracha end. However, there is a bracha of eating. That you put from something from above to below. Now you gotta have something from below to above. What do you mean? He says, this is the rule of nature. He says, what rule of nature? Show me in the nature. You see, trees grow from the earth. How do they grow?
Upward.
Yeah, I know upward. But how do they grow? Oh, yeah, we think. You see, here again, you go to the world of illusion. We think we get a seed, we're going to put it right to the earth and say, Earth, Mother Earth, here you got the seed, here is the water, and here is some, how do you call, 1616 fertilizers, and now give it to me. Okay. That's how it is? No. Remember, every glass, single glass, as a malach, as a angel. Everything that's created, everything a Jew says, immediately creates an angel. And that angel has one and only one responsibility, to make sure that this that you planted to grow. So every morning, this malach, it doesn't have anything else. Only to make sure this grass grow. How is going to grow? He gets up in the morning, hey, get up. Get up! So what is it? Get up, you gotta grow. Why? Because God said so. I want you to grow and become. Why? Because you as well have to say Shira. You have to lohodot. You have to accept and understand that there is God. Even the one grass. And the Malach is there to hit him. So when he hit him on his head, he says, grow, grow. He goes, he says, where am I going to go? He goes down to the earth. He takes all the roots. You know how hard it is to move in this earth so tight? Has to go from one hole to another hole till it finds food. And he has to work hard, get food to grow. Because every morning this Malach comes to his head, he says, grow. So we see growing is not only from below to above. It's from above to below too. That means you ate something. You want to grow? What this food that went into your stomach, this pleasure, this energy, how is coming out of you? Hate? Anger? Separation? Or love? Torah? Unification? Goodness? What comes? It's your choice. So that's why God comes and says, right at the beginning of the parasha, right at the beginning, and comes, tells us the following. And I wish I had about 2 more hours. Then I would be a little bit happier. Because I have to summarize things that I don't want to summarize. Vahaya. Vahaya is Vav Hey Yud Hey. If you look at the names, Vav Hey Yud Hey, look at the names. Vav Hey Yud Hey, Vav Hey Yud Hey is Muznaim. What is Muznaim? Rosh Hashanah. He says there is going to be a day, a moment, a month. Accounting time. Did you eat? Let's make accounting. It's called Rosh Hashanah. It says Vahaya Ekev Tishmun. Or what is Ekev? Literally, is your heel, is your Ekev. What is Ekev Tishmon? I don't think my Ekev has any ears to listen. What is this Ekev Tishmon? Is there such a slang in Hebrew? So what, God doesn't know some Hebrew? What is talking about Ekev Tishmon? He says, the work got to be from below to above. The awakening is the Malach. He does the work from above to below. But your work starts from below to above. So I read this parasha and I ask myself, what are you teaching me, Moshe, in this parasha? He says the beginning of your spiritual work is it starts with what you eat, what you eat in your mouth, how you put it, and what you bring out. Very simple. That's Ekev Tishmo. You really want to listen to me, to Hashem? You want to really go the way of God? You really want to make good out of the time that you are spending? You want to see good results in your life? You don't want to go like this and feel sorry in your life? You want to have the bitachon and you want the confidence to exist? Don't go with your inchy-binchy mind. Because that mind is took you nowhere. You're a small world. It's enough to go to cemetery. How many came and how many gone? So the Rebbe comes and says the following. There is the bread of the Shamayim called man, which has a transcendent nature. It's a spiritual nature. And our plowing and sowing will not cause it to grow. It was given a present from God to us. This man. Can you make man? Can you make man? Can you grow some man? No. No matter what I do. It's only God sees if I should eat and whether to give me this man or not. And it's not something that was. Anything spiritual is Hayah, Hoveh, Vehiyeh, continuous. This man exists today. That's the one that gives you the power, gives you the bitachon, gives you the capability and possibility to submit and benefit. Because the movement has to start from below, not from the above. As per whatever, how do I know that this is correct? That the movement should be from below? Do I get rain? How can I get rain? If the water from below doesn't evaporate, there won't be no rain from above. So it's got to be from below, still I have from above. So I cannot see dude like this and say, God, you know, I'm a good boy. You know, he's my father, by the way. So why don't you, come on. What happened? No pain, no gain. Fact of life. And the life is not to come and look for it. How can I enjoy myself? Very simple. The Jews went to God and says, look, I'm sick and tired of this man. I know it's a spiritual, but I'm sick and tired of it. Give me some meat. Okay. He gave so much meat to these people. Meat was coming out of the nose. They couldn't smell it anymore. That's a possibility too. So the Rebbe continues. For our limited mortal eyes could not appreciate the unbounded spiritual potential that mana contains. This explains that mana fusion of affluence and poverty. This power of mana, it makes me tremendously feel rich, at the same time very poor. How many ways do we eat? Whatever I put in my mouth is eating? No, there is another eating too. If I tell you something, or you go to a class, or you go sit down on a book and you learn something new, is what you learn is going to be part of you? It's going to make you grow? It's going to make you strong? That's another type of eating. So there is one called eating of earthy, which involves bread of the down here, and there is the bread of Shamayim that doesn't have a waste, and it only gives you what? There is no end to the Torah. So every time I eat is the beginning again. No matter how much I eat of Torah, there is the beginning. So God, what are you doing with me? I submit to God only for one purpose. So he accepts to take me to the way, all the way with Rachmanut, to take the time to teach me, to take the time to prepare me. You know what? You go to a restaurant and they give you a big menu. Are they doing you a favor? No, you waste most of the time just to make a decision. Are you going to? Oh. That's our brain makes combinations. But what is God? Simplicity. The more your life is simple, the better it is. The more you make it complicated, the more you have roof to plow snow, it's more difficult. Simple.
What do you call simple?
Simple.
What do you call simple?
Hey, come on. Simple. That by itself is a lesson of sitting down and recognizing the more simplicity, the better it is. That doesn't mean not to be rich. That doesn't mean that I not have more and more desire to grow. No. But simple. Not too many. Come on. I don't need to take a helicopter, go all the way, spend $30,000 just to say, would you marry me? Come on. I don't need to come and marry a girl and have writing my code, area code, right on my card. in double letters. It's not necessary. Keep it simple. But we like more. That more aspect has to be for somewhere else. So the Rebbe continues and says the following. We know that the man, God says, take your portion for today and don't take anything for tomorrow. So why God said this? So you cannot call anything your own. I cannot save some more man on the side, you know. I have more man today. It's nothing mine. As soon as you're believing that what you got is yours, I got this, this is mine, and this is mine. Your life is not simple anymore. You gotta worry about too many things to hold on to, not to lose. You know 99% of us, why we pray to God? This is God. I know it's not perfect the way I want it. But don't make it worse than this. Please, I plead you. I mean, it is bad as it is. I expect, but don't make it worse than this. That's where we got to. To plead that don't make it worse. That's also the manna represents the ultimate wealth with regards to the recipient. It's the represented ultimate poverty. For they could not point it to say that this is mine. As soon as you release yourself. Not saying, hey, this is mine. I did it. I have it. I work for it. And the guy pushes himself so much, he's going to have a heart attack. What's that? Is that what it is? That's what I came here to really, because of I don't want to lose it, have a heart attack and really lose it? So again, I repeat, and to summarize, God really puts us through tests, through pain, up and downs, gives us choices to make mistakes. We learn from mistakes. That's okay to make mistakes, as long as you recognize your mistakes, and only God evaluates what's going on in my heart. How much truth I establish in my heart. From what angle do I look at Him? Look at His Torah. How much I am sincere. How much of my inside is equal to my outside? Am I phony? Or I am for real? Because only an complicated person is phony. A real person doesn't need to be complicated. It can be very simple. Very simple. Usually spiritual people, they say it in two words. They explain the whole wisdom. Two words. They don't talk too much. They don't need to talk too much. Simple. We are really honestly sitting in only a simulation room to learn that when we get to the real thing, to be able to do it. That's why if you make a mistake, if we were in the real thing, we made a mistake, you think how much he would tolerate it. 1, 2, 3, adios. And no come back. So God gives me with Rachmanut a situation, a good... Come on, it's beautiful down there. It's gorgeous. It could be a phenomena simulator. Enjoy it, but appreciate it. And Tishmau Nekev, because it started to tell us, and next week we have Netilat Yadayim. We know the secret of Netilat Yadayim. He starts telling us, you see, bottom line, first of all, first recognize who gives you the food. And recognize what it is in this food and what is the purpose of the food. The first scene started from where? From eating. The first sin of Adam was from eating. So God starts put your eating habits into a simple form. How can I make my eating habits simple? Hello? How can I make my eating habits simple? You know how many foods I eliminate immediately? I forget about lobsters and caviar and all the goody stuff. Gotta cut it off. Let's make it simple. Really make it simple.
It's not simple. It makes it complicated.
Oh yeah, it's so simple.
You can do it, but it still makes it complicated. When you go out and you live in here and you need to eat something and you want to eat kosher, that doesn't make it simple.
Very good. Now, can you go to a find a pita, a piece of pita, and a piece of cheese, and a little bit vegetables in it, and one grape in the middle, and eat it. Is that going to satiate you?
It's like being vegetarian.
Simple. Why do you have to look for the best steakhouse in town?
Doesn't taste like filet mignon.
It does. Oh, you see? We say it doesn't taste like filet mignon. That's what I want. Now, who's going to talk like this? Because are you going to be happy with this steakhouse? No, there is a new steakhouse in La Cienega. Just opened recently. I heard the chef is coming from, I don't know, a city in the down France, and his teacher was this. You talk about Torah like the teacher was that, and the teacher and this from this chacham came this, and that chacham gave that chokhmah. Oh, yo, you know the all the history of all the chefs in the city. Come on, life, honestly, is beautiful, but it's a box of a chocolate, and you never know. The only way you will know, give yourself, try it. And the trial starts when you are putting something in your mouth. Say, wait a minute, mister, what bracha is this? Is this etz? Is it adama? It came from earth? It came from a tree? It came from the sea? Is it a cookie? Is it a fruit? You already put your sechel into it. You remember. You're working on your memory. You're making sure you're not going to get chas v'shalom Alzheimer's disease. Because you got brain working. And by the way, you're establishing your neurons. And we'll get there. Now, you know what? God, come and sit down at my table. We want to enjoy a good piece of food. So please share it with me. How? He says, now, you know, you eat, you tell me about how good it is. Really, did I meet the good oranges? Let me. I say the bracha. I eat the pleasure. I eat the energy. I say, God, you know, those oranges are gorgeous. They are really delicious. How do you think God is going to enjoy food? How God is going to enjoy smell of flower? How God enjoys the touch of a baby? Through you, through your fingers, through your nose, through your ears, through your eyes, through your lips. That's Tasuli Mishkan. Share it with me. First of all, I'll help you to go the right way, easy way. There's a gentleman that gave me, really honestly, Zuchud, I appreciate it. I've read half of it. To explain the history of, I really honestly, I wish that you make a movie out of this. It's worthy of it. It has to work on it.
He asked me about Ahmad Israel.
It is, we have Jews, unbelievable, powerful, tremendous amount of love they have within them. They are capable. Look at the world. 50% of the goodness of the Nobel Prize winners in every field are Jews. Jews have done good for this world. And we can do better. Right now, Jews are doing the biggest favor to the world. I swear they do. Because nobody has the stomach to face it. America, you give them an opportunity to get out of Iraq, they will get in 24 hours. They don't know how to handle it. Come on. And yet, it's required guts. Guts! And there is guts. There is in Jews, they are people. They put their heart on the line. They know 99% they will not come back. But yet they go with flying colors. That has to teach you and me. You and me. A hell of a big lesson. That am I making same sacrifice that boy 22 years? Last week they buried somebody whom I know to degree in name of Eliyahu in Israel. 22 years old. The guy was genius. Totally genius. And if he would have made it, he probably would be one of the Nobel Prize winners. And they went to bury him. In the burial, at the end of the burial, the mother said one thing. He says, one thing I cannot do in my world. I cannot forget you. That means she has going to carry this pain of burying her own son to her own death. That's not easy. That's a hell of a big sacrifice. What am I putting up? I'm a Jew too. Shalom al kol Israel.
Thank you.
It's good to have you all. Let's see you next week, Bezrat Hashem.